I may begin with an apology this morning. I'd like to be able to share with you all this morning that I had 2 days of extraordinary rest and reflection and time for prayer. The truth is, I got that cold that was going on around and ended up flat in my back for 2 days. And so there's a bunch of details that didn't get the attention that they needed. And so things are a little fragmented this morning. Let me accept responsibility for that. I apologize. Unfortunately, I was in no shape to be dealing with some of those details. And we'll do better next week. Thank you for your patience. Let me dive into the gospel today. We're looking at John 3. And unfortunately, what you heard this morning didn't provide you context. So I'm going to try and do that for you this morning. I think it's important that we know where we are so that we know when we are and how we're supposed to understand it. First of all, I want to say to you this morning that I believe we often treat our relationship with God the way we treat our relationship with our spouses on occasion. You remember the old story about the old couple sitting side by side watching television with their feet up in their easy boy, looking at each other, and the wife turns to the husband and says, "You never say you love me. You never do anything nice for me. There's no gestures of kindness." He said, "What's the problem?" She said, "Well, the real problem is you never say you love me anymore." He looked at her and he smiled and he said, "Listen, the day we got married, I said I loved you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know." We treat our relationship with other people and with God in the similar way. It's kind of like, "God, thank you very much for saving me 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And if I need you again, I'll let you know. If I need your input, I'll let you know." We often do that with God. Now, there's others who are in a constant struggle with God. It's like a couple that's always arguing. You know that they love each other, you just can't tell. Or the teenager, and the story goes a little bit like this, that the teenager keeps doing one thing after another, worse and worse and worse and worse and worse behavior, and finally the mom sits down and says, "Listen, I gave birth to you, I raised you, I love you, I give you everything you could possibly need. Why are you doing this?" And the teenager said, "I figured if the bad behavior got bad enough, you'd let me know." We often are in a relationship with God like that. You know, if I've violated the top 10, and I take it further, eventually you'll let me know so I know that you care. Interesting relationship. When in reality, we are invited to a different kind of relationship, a very intimate, daily relationship. So let me tell you the story about Nicodemus. You remember this one. Nicodemus had all the power, which is temporary, all the money, which is temporary, all the positions, temporary, all the popularity, temporary, fame, fortune, wealth, and power, all temporary. But he knew there was more to his life, his meaning and his purpose, and he knew it was eternal. And so he went in the middle of the night, where he would not be witnessed by anyone, to have a conversation with Jesus. And basically, he said to Jesus, "What does it take? What does it take for me to have eternal meaning and purpose? What does it take?" And Jesus said, "You must be born anew." Nicodemus, hearing things in the short term, basically says to Jesus, "Listen, you, stop messing with my head. I cannot get back into my mother's womb." And Jesus gently says, "You misunderstand the point. And the point is that you must be born of the Spirit, that your heart must change." Some of us believe that as long as we have a functioning intellectual understanding of Jesus, we're all set. That'd be a mistake. It's not enough. There must be a kariatric moment. Now, it'll be different and has been different for each and every one of you. For some of you, it was a growing awareness of God's presence in your life and a growing awareness and feeling of the presence of Jesus in your daily words, thoughts, choices, and actions. For others, it was a moment. You remember the moment that you were born anew. And both are mutually respected and understood as real in our Anglican tradition, both. But one's a little harder to work out than the other. If you remember that kerygmatic moment when you were changed by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you remember that moment, it's easier to remember when and how the change happened. But if it was a gradual experience, sometimes it just flows from moment to moment. Both equally legit. Let me unpack it a little bit. I remember when I was a child, we went to the doctor that over 3,000 patients attended to in Simcoe, Ontario, and his name was Dr. Johnson. And he was the ultimate physician. And in many of our eyes, the ultimate husband and dad and granddad. I bumped into him when he was in his late 80s, and I felt this sudden resurgence of admiration and respect after all those years of being an adult and away from that town. But the first time I went into his office, that I was keenly aware that I went to the doctor to receive needles. So I liked him, but I didn't like the one he sent in. I remember staring at the wall, and there was this huge portrait of a stick with two snakes. Do you remember this? The symbol of physicians that goes all the way back to Moses in the experience in the Old Testament. When those who were wandering in the wilderness disobeyed, and snakes bit them, and then God said, create a bronze pole with snakes on the pole, bronze snakes, and when they look at that, in belief, there it is, in faith, they will be healed from the bites. That symbol of Old Testament healing, which is used even to this day, a symbol of healing and new beginnings. I remember that because I thought, if this doctor comes in with a snake and a needle, I'm out of here. No one ever explained it to me until I got to Sunday school. And there the imagery was explained in a story one day. For you and I, it's really important for us to understand our relationship with Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. And we know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. What does that really mean? That means that God loved all people everywhere. Did you catch that? That he gave, freely gave his Son, fully knowing what we would do with him. And he came to this world to teach about love and forgiveness, mercy and clemency, unwarranted forgiveness. And the world responded by crucifying him. What we didn't know is that God understood that that was the plan. But God knew the end of the story. He knew that he would raise him from the dead, and by raising him from the dead, he would have paid the penalty for all of humanity's mistakes, and then we would be granted eternal grace and mercy, forgiveness, and eternal life as a gift if we asked for it. If we asked for it. And then it should, could, would, certainly might, change all of our behavior and action as a direct response to that gift of new life. Here's an interesting question. If you went to court today and you were accused of being a Christian, and there was a jury of your peers, would there be any evidence that you were guilty of being a Christian? Here's what I believe. Because I believe in you as the Christian community, and I believe that you are giving it everything you possibly have to follow the example, the words and the actions and attitudes of Christ, I believe that you would not only be found guilty of being a Christian, but there would be overwhelming evidence that would transform the lives of those around you. Now, I believe that. The question is, do you? Do you believe that about yourself? Do you know that you know that you know? You see, for me, the real struggle is when we have people that attend church, pray, read scripture, are part of the fellowship of believers, and yet spend a whole lot of time in doubt. When the reality is the gift of eternal life is that you can wake up every morning knowing that your life is a gift, that you are anointed and consecrated and blessed to be a servant of Jesus in this world. In all that you say and do and think. So this morning, here's the gentle reminder. You are loved beyond your wildest imagination. Now, here is what you need for this week. We were blessed with an extraordinary daughter who had me wrapped around her finger from about the time she was 4. She could do no wrong in my eyes. Until she was about 14. And then it all changed. Because for some strange reason, she became a normal teenager. And I found myself almost immediately reacting to the behavior. And so I had a pair of shoes and my keys in those shoes at the front door. And every time there was a blow up, every time there was a moment, I left. Because if I stayed, I would react. And I knew that I needed to respond. Because to the dads and granddads in this room, you need to know you are modeling the man your daughter will choose. I spent 4 years in those shoes. 4 years. Sometimes I was gone for 20 minutes, but I need to tell you there were several times I was gone for up to 12 hours. Because I needed to come to a point that I responded rather than reacted to the situations, to a normal teenage little girl who was growing up so fast. This week, you will need to learn the lesson my daughter taught me. And that is to learn how to respond rather than react. To be able to do that in faith and in love. To accept the people around you the way they are, as God accepts you the way you are. And invite them to grow as God invites you to grow. In faith, we need to be able to treat the people around us with that love and grace, no matter what they say or do to us. These are powerful challenges. It doesn't matter if we have a dozen witnesses to what they said. It doesn't even matter if we have it on tape. What it matters is what we do with the situation. Because when God saw a broken, shattered, damaged, wounded world, he sent his son, filled with love, grace, and mercy, to teach us a new way to be. And as Christians, we are called to live by that grace and mercy for the lives of others. Here's the challenge. You will need what I just said to you this week. May God bless you with that awareness. Amen.